can't even daven. I can't do anything here.
See, he says, who told you, why do you have to daven? He says, because there's a mitzvah to daven. I love davening. I want to serve Hashem. He says, so the same Hashem that told you that you have to daven, he told you that now you shouldn't daven. Because there's a graph shell right over here. There's a bucket of a toilet. And you can't daven now. So the same Hashem who told you to daven is telling you not to daven. So it's avodas Hashem also, not to daven. The Rebbe felt a nichum. He felt so excited. He stood up and he starts dancing like whatever hopka zak da 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 whatever. And he gets really excited, and his chaver stands up, and they hold hands, and they start dancing like this, the mamish, the buckets in between them, and they're going, so excited. These Russian guys, they stand up, hello, what's going on over here? So they all of a sudden, they grab each other's hands, the Russians, they get involved, and they start dancing, they start making a circle, and they're dancing around the bucket. They're dancing around the bucket, and that's what's happening. It didn't take long till the security comes in, the guard comes in, and he's like, what's going on over here? He says, we don't know, around these two Jews. All of a sudden, the rabbi, he was like, looks like he was going to cry. Then he stands up, he starts to laugh and smile and dance, starts to sing. So we joined in, we're dancing. Every few seconds, every few minutes, whatever, he stops, and he starts to jump up and down, he points at the bucket, and then he starts to dance more. He said, it's the bucket that's making him happy. Then the bucket's gone. And he takes the bucket out, and Shteitz after I was able to daven, at least until the next person needed the bathroom. It's a certain look that a person could have at every situation. He could look at a situation, he could turn it around, and he could see it in a positive light. He could even turn it into an avodas Hashem. But there's something that's maybe even a little bit deeper in looking at our situations that we're in. I came home Shabbos morning, just yesterday. Today's Sunday, right? It doesn't feel like it to me. I came home Shabbos morning from shul, and I had my whole day planned out. I even have an alarm set for different time, whatever, to take a little nap. I have chavrusas, children, everything. And my whole day planned out. And I come home, and I go into my room, and I see the door closed. Okay, fine. I open the door, and I'm like, what's that? And there's a problem with the BU, with the sewer. And I live on the bottom floor, Komat Knisa. I have a big building. It's an apartment building of, four people live on top of me. And there was some kind of stima, some kind of backing up in the pipes. And this is this is a bathroom in my room, and it's just coming up, and it wasn't roses.
It wasn't roses.
And the water's coming, and it's coming. I'm like, what's going on? And my wife's, oh, I forgot to tell you about that. But I see everything's off the floor, whatever could come off the floor. I mean, the beds aren't off the floor, and the closet's not off the floor, and the door's not off the floor, and... But whatever, I mean, I can't see the floor, and then it's coming, and it's coming out of the room, and it's going into this kid's room, and it's coming into the hallway, and it's coming to the salon, to the living room, and it's just everywhere. It's like a monster. It's growing. And it's Shabbos morning, and I can't do anything about it. I grab a safer, I can start looking up. I'm like, what can I do? I'm a little bit handy, fine. I have a snake. I could do. I'm looking. I go out of the house, obviously, to look. No, this is mamish. It's a matzah. If it's such a situation, so the pipe has a din mikulkal. It's broken. The pipe has a din broken. And to start snaking it to get it open, it's a din tikkun. It's aser mamish. You're not allowed to do it. There goes my Shabbos. Okay, fine. You know what? Shabbos will still be Shabbos. That's fine. My mother lives right next door to me. And we ate the suit over there. Shabbos was still Shabbos, fine, but Motzei Shabbos was Motzei Shabbos. I had plans for Motzei Shabbos also. Yeah, you heard the saying, a mensch tracht on the ebste lacht. A person thinks, and Hashem laughs. Hashem has other cheshbonos for you. I come home, Motzei Shabbos. I didn't come home. I didn't daven Maariv. I asked the Rebbe before if I daven Maariv. He said no. Kavod Abrios. I told all the people upstairs for me. I don't think they understood. Maybe my Hebrew is not good enough. Not to please use the water. At least to try not to use the water. Could be my Hebrew is not so good because they were using the water. But my Hebrew was fine. But anyway, so I talked. I didn't daven Maariv. I just like as soon as Tzeis came. And the Shal Shulis was very enjoyable. Baruch Hashem, if I remember this house, I was trying not to think about it. And but as soon as Tzeis came, I changed my pants and my shoes, got the snake, and I went fishing. So what else do you do, Motzei Shabbos? In Kiryat Sefer, you fish. Right. So it wasn't successful. It was, I guess, for sitting there for like hours and hours and hours, it got really whatever it was. So I tried an hour, and whatever. I took a long time with the besamim. I never enjoyed besamim so much before in my life. So, fine, I'm working on it, it's not going. I call up a plumber, fine, I'm like, listen, you have to come over, can you come over? Yeah, I can come over, I'll be there in a half an hour. Came in a half an hour, the chiddush. And he was also, he was, whatever, I guess he's learning a little bit, but he had better tools than me. So together I helped him, and we together finally, after it took two hours working over there, and finally all of a sudden, like, gush, and I'm like, wow, yes. And then what do? Afterwards, we spent until 3:30 last night moving furniture and bleaching everything from the doors. I took off all the doors. They had to like go outside and I bleached everything and just to sponge everything into the kitzer. Why am I telling you all of this? Number one, it's amusing. And besides for that, is that I don't know that I succeeded, but I definitely thought about it, and I tried, and there were times where I was succeeding, and then there were times where I started, like, falling, but I thought, and I said, this is David says, what? Ratzing. This is what Hashem said. This wouldn't be happening if Hashem didn't say it should happen. So, by me accepting what's happening right now, I am being mamlech Hashem. If I accept my situation that's being given to me, then I'm accepting Hashem's malchus, which today is so hidden. It's so, so hidden. And whatever we can do to realize that Hashem is the melech, we have to do so. We have to grab onto that. We're coming to Rosh Hashanah, and the main theme in Rosh Hashanah is malchus, that Hashem is the melech. Hashem is the melech. That's why he's judging. He's judging because he's the melech. But that's the main theme, that Hashem is the melech. The famous Reb Itzela Petterberg, he would say, maybe from Yisrael, that a person could be mamlech Hashem. He could make Hashem reign in his kingdom. He could be mamlech Hashem of the entire universe. The four ruchos, lamala, lamata, he can make Hashem reign, and Hashem's kingdom is everywhere. Except for one spot, a person finds it very hard to be mamlech Hashem himself. Very hard to be mamlech Hashem over yourself. And to be mamlech Hashem over yourself means to say very often that this is Hashem, 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 Hashem. By the way, we have to do our ishtadlus. We have to try not to get into predicaments. We have to do whatever we can to that things should be smooth and work well. But when Hashem puts you in a situation, you have to accept the situation. This is Hashem. This is the Melech, and this is his Malchus, and this is what he wants, and he has Cheshbonos. You could have a person who's very strong-minded. It's very interesting, the psychology. A person can be very strong-minded, he can be physically strong, talented, he can have all the milas. He can even be planned out. This is what's going to do. I'm going to build something. A person going to build something. You want to build something, I don't know, a closet. You're going to build a closet. get the wood, you're all planned out, everything's, and you know how to use a jigsaw, and you know how to use all the different tools, and something doesn't go right. All of a sudden you start using the jigsaw, and for some reason it's like not cutting straight, it's like, what happened? If everyone, and I don't know if anyone used the jigsaw, or maybe just Nahal better than I, but when something doesn't go your way, you just crumble. A person could think, okay, I'm going to take care of the kids today, right? A man is going to take care of the kids. He's going to babysit the children. It's a breeze. If I could take care of the... It's a breeze, right? What I mean, I'm going to be the best daddy or tati or whatever you are today. I'm going to take them for a walk. I'm going to read them a book, a snack, a nap. My wife's going to come home and she's going to see the house clean. Everything's going to be perfect. All of a sudden, it comes for the first mealtime. I take the leaven over here. They eat leaven and get leaven. Open it up. Don't want. What you're doing? You crazy? It's just not going your way. It's fine. So you say clean it up. So he starts cleaning it up, and then he gets all upset and he comes over to you, and he's like, "What's going on over here? Why is there leaven all over my suit jacket now?" And these are the situations. It happens wherever a person thinks he's going to go. He has with his parents something. He's going to call up his parents. He's going over to his mom. This is his mom. I'm going to get along with my mother and father. I'm going to get along with them. It's going to be fine. He goes home, and the first day there's like an explosion. It's just not going his way. And when that happens, a person crumbles. Because a person is not able to take things not going his way. It's the hardest thing in the world that something shouldn't go your way. And when something doesn't go your way, everything just falls. You just feel weak, frustrated, angry. I just thought of a pshat in the Gemara in Kedushin over here. We just saw by Rabbi Tarfain. Rabbi Tarfain was such a kibbutz avim. For his mother, he would lie down on the floor so she should step on him to get up. But for sure, on the way back down off the bed, he would go down and she would step on him to go down. He would pick her up onto the bed. He would lay down the floor so she could use him as a stepping stool to get off the bed. You ever heard of anyone doing that? My mother lives next door to me. That's a big thing. I've never gotten on the floor for my mother to step on me. I've never done such a thing. The Gemara says, what? You don't know anything about Kibbutz Avim. You haven't gotten halfway through Kibbutz Avim yet. Has your mother ever taken your wallet and thrown it into the Yam? Now, I don't know. Maybe that's a big deal. But I seem to be much more impressed with a guy getting on the floor and saying, Mommy, step on me, please, to get onto bed. Mommy, please step on me to get off of bed. That, to me, that's like, what? It's unheard of. It doesn't make any sense. It's not normal. Okay, fine, it's a big deal. She took your wallet, she threw it into the ocean in front of your face. Okay. Especially the Rishonim that hold that it's that the halacha is atzala av, meaning they have to pay for it anyway. So I won't yarshin it. Okay, I won't yarshin it, but it's not. That's the kibbutz avim. So I thought the pshat is like this. Rabbi Tarfain decided on his own to get on the floor and be stepped on. He was ready for that. He prepared himself for that. That was according to plan. I'm going to get on the floor and have my mother step on me to get on the bed. That's according to plan. But when I was just sitting, minding my own business, doing nothing, and all of a sudden my mother comes and grabs my wallet, and she's like, you won't have that. What? What just happened? She caught me by surprise. When a person's caught by surprise and it's not going the way you planned, that's much more difficult. And that's what the Gemara is saying. You haven't gotten anywhere yet in Kibbutz Avim. Yeah, you lay down a floor, but you planned that. It's easy for you because that was part of your whole plan. There's a chinuch in the Kama, a famous chinuch. The chinuch says in the Shroshi HaMitzvah, a person has to know in his heart that anything that happens to him, whether it's good, whether it's bad, Husiba shetovei olav me'es Hashem Baruch Hu. The only cause of what happened to you is Hashem. Someone came and bashed your car up. Someone came and pushed you. Someone stole something from you. It's from Hashem. Umiyad adam miyad ish achiv lo yiyah davar bilti rotzen Hashem Baruch Hu. Nothing will happen to a person that's not Hashem's ratzon. Al kein kishitzareo yekiveo adam. When a person's mitzar you, when a person is ka'ev you, he hurts you, he's upsetting you. You have to know that it's because of your avirus. Someone came and he punched you. You're walking in town, wherever, and all of a sudden the guy comes up and he beats you up. So a person has to know that I shouldn't be angry. I don't have to be angry at this guy. Really, it's a very high level, but that's the truth. The truth is I don't have to be angry at this guy because this was from Hashem. This was from Hashem. It's because my aver is. This is from Hashem. When a person and it's a chinuch. He's a rishon. V'lo yoshes machshavoysav limka mimenu ki hu eno sibas re'asai. Don't put your heart to take nekama from him. Don't try to take revenge. He didn't do it to you. What do you mean he didn't do it to me? Someone stole from me. Everyone has things in their life that you have tainos in the guy. I'll never be Michael that guy. Him, I won't be Michael. Why not? It's not from him. Hashem did it to you. No, it can't be. What do you mean? It could be. It is. Hashem did it. And this is Kabbalah's Olam HaShemayim. When a person realizes that it's from Hashem, that is Kabbalah's Olam HaShemayim. When the flood is overtaking the house, when your kids smear everything on you, accepting the situation that you're in is realizing that Hashem has me in this situation. Kol bidei shemayim chutz miyira shemayim. Hakol bidei, the focus on yira shemayim. Hakol, but over here, kol bidei shemayim, a person has to know that everything happens from shemayim. Everything. Everything. And that's the melech. And he has his finger on the pulse. Hashem has his finger on the pulse. He's not missing anything. He knows exactly what everybody needs. And he knows exactly what a person needs also in his avodas Hashem. And sometimes he needs a flood in his house. It's a part of his avodas Hashem. Hashem wants you to accept it. It's not easy. Another nakuda in the same idea is that when we do mitzvahs, right now, until now I've been talking about our life, how it gets set up on a day-to-day basis, and longer than that, everything that's set up for us, all of our predicaments, everything, all of our situations that we ever have, a person has to accept them, because that is Hashem, and that is Kabbalah's Olam HaShemayim. There's another Kabbalah's Olam HaShemayim in every mitzvah that we do. Ironically, the word mitzvah means a tzivoy, a command. So mitzivoy means because Hashem is mitzava you to do it. And when a person does a mitzvah, his number one intention should be, I'm doing this mitzvah because Hashem said to do it. I know why, I don't know why. No cheshbonis, Hashem said to do it. There's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. It's a very interesting Gemara. Daf Tes Zayin. Amar Rabbi Yitzchok, Lama Toikim B'Rosh Hashanah. Why do we blow a shofar in Rosh Hashanah? The Gemara attacks him. Mamish attacks Rabbi Yitzchok. Lama Toikim? Lama Toikim? Rachmana Amar Tiko! The Torah says to blow! Wow. All I asked was, why do we blow a shofar? And they attacked Rabbi Yitzchok. Why do we blow? We blow because Hashem says to blow. The Torah says to blow. Meaning to say, what do you mean, Lama Toikin? You blow because Hashem says to blow. The mitzvah is Hashem gave you a mitzvah. You have a mitzvah commandment to blow. You blow. it's interesting because if you learn the Gemara well, a few lines before it, the Gemara had a whole slew of things that it asked. How come Rabbi Akiva, Mipnei ma amra Torah heviu oimer bePesach? Why did the Torah say to bring the carbon oimer on Pesach? And the Gemara answered. And then he asked again, why did the Torah say to bring the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos? And the Gemara gave an answer. The Gemara asked, why water? Why the Nisuch HaMayim on Sukkos? And the Gemara gives an answer. Why did the Gemara attack him? What do you mean, why? Because the Torah said so. The answer is because the question was asked differently. Why did the Torah say? That's what he asked. Rabbi Kiva asked, Mipnei ma amra Torah. The first step of every mitzvah is to realize that I am doing something that Hashem said to do. And that's Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shamayim. Every time a person goes to do a mitzvah, it's Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shamayim. Because he's doing something, a person's faced with an assign. A person can have an assign, and if he says, sometimes a person needs eitzah, you need tricks, and you need other things, maybe, I'll get there in a second. A person's faced with an assign, and he says to himself, Hashem said, no. And because of that, with that itself, a person is goes weiter, he moves on, and he doesn't do the aver that he wanted to do. That was the biggest Kiddush Hashem, it was the biggest Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shamayim possible. The biggest Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shamayim possible. There's nothing bigger that a person can be faced with an assign, and he says, Hashem said not to do it. No, there's nothing glorious, no glamour, no light, nothing. All of a sudden, a person just thinking in his own mind, Hashem said no, and that was enough to hold him out. He was just makabel Ol Malchus Shamayim in the greatest way. Sometimes a person won't be able to succeed in that, so he has to have other eitzes. He could think of all different types of eitzes, whatever they are, to help him in his avodas Hashem. But the basis of every mitzvah has to be that I'm doing this because Hashem said so, and that's Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shamayim. Just to finish off, just with the idea of Malchus, everyone heard before, and that, you know, Dafka wasn't going to say it because everyone's already heard it, but you know, they say that somewhere in the previous generations, I don't know how far back, but by every Shabbos Mevarchim of Elul, it wasn't Shaykh that someone didn't faint. Someone fainted. In every shul, there was somebody who fainted by Shabbos Mevarchim of Elul. They just heard the Hakraza, Rosh Chodesh Elul, and someone, the sittering, the fear that a person had then, every year, there was someone who fainted. We can't even masik such a thing. Can't even masik. The reason why we can't be masik is because we have no Shaykhs to Malchus anymore. We don't even know what a melech is. We don't know what melech is bachlal. Today, presidents, no matter how powerful they are made fun of. They're called by their first names bachlal, but they're made fun of. It's absurd. It's absolutely absurd. You can have someone so powerful. When a person has that kind of power, it's in the essence, it's mechayev kavod. It's mechayev respect and fear. And it's not. You can call him Trump. You can call him, if a guy's a slave and he becomes a president, so that's, I don't know what, because he's the mohos. He can't be a melech. But otherwise, where's the kavod? Where's the kavod for? And because we don't have that kavod, we don't come into contact with malchus. We don't have cover malchus. We also have a hard time relating to Hashem's malchus. There's a Gemara in Brachas Daf Nun Ches. Rav Sheshes was blind, and one time the king was coming through the town, so everybody was going to see, and Rav Sheshes was going along also. There was a tzaduki that said to Rav Sheshes, "Amalei chatzvi lenara," someone who has a complete barrel, a bowl, a bucket, he can go to the river to draw water. Because there's a complete bucket. He could draw water. But Higani Laya. But someone who has a broken bucket, what's he going to the river for? You can't draw water with a broken bucket. There's a big hole in the bottom. You're blind. You're going to see the king? You can't see the king. And Rav Sheshes told him, Tachazi, come and see. I know what a king is better than you. So Chalaf Gunda, they went, they're by the street, and all of a sudden, the first entourage of the king comes by, and the tzaduki is saying, hey, here comes the king, here comes the king. Very loud. It was mamash a rumbling. And he says, no, Rav Sheshes says, no, that's not the king. The second group came, and the tzaduki is like, the king is coming, he's coming now. And the tzaduki said, no, Rav Sheshes said, no, it's not the king. And Amalei Ahu Tzeduki Hashta Ka'osi Malka Amalei Rav Sheshes Loi Ka'osi Malka Chalaf Klisoi. A third rumble was coming. Kikoshaska, and all of a sudden it became dead silent. It became silent. Amalei Rav Sheshes Vadei Hashta Osi Malka. Now the king is coming. Now the king is coming. Amalei Ahu Tzeduki Menalachaha. How do you know this? Amalei the Malchusa the Araki in Malchusa the Rekia. Because the Malchus of Ara, of the land, is in the image of the Malchus of Rekia. They're similar. Hashem makes them similar. He brings a pasuk. The pasuk in Malachim. Seva amarta bahar lefnei Hashem. A malach tells Elio that he should go by Hashem. Vihine Hashem oiver. Hashem was, Shechina was passing by. There was these tremendous, powerful winds. Mefarik harim, it's breaking mountains. Mishaber sloim, it's splitting bedrock. Lefnei Hashem. Loi beruach Hashem. But Hashem is not in the ruach. The achar ruach, and after the wind, rash, there was, the floor started to rumble, an earthquake is happening. Loi berash Hashem. Hashem is not in the earthquake. Yachar Arash, Eish, and after that there was fire. Loi be'esh Hashem. And the pasuk says that Hashem's not in the fire. Va'achar Eish called the mama. After the fire there was a voice of silence. Whatever a voice of silence is, there was a voice of silence. Daka. Ki osam. Okay, then the Gemara's mamshek with the story. But that's how Rav Sheshes knew. Rav Sheshes knew that when there was silence, I knew from Hashem, because by Hashem, in Hashem's Malchus, when there was silence, that's when Hashem was there. So the Malchus of the Ara, also when there's silence, Hashem is there. And we say from here that Hashem brings into this world different things for us to be able to relate in our avodah with Hashem. Hashem, part of one of the things that help us to relate and serve Hashem is the Malchus of the Ara. Is the king, is the Malchus of the land, that the kingship that's here in the world, that helps us relate to Hashem. But what do we do now, today, that we don't have a Malchus to Ara? We don't have any kingship left in this world. How are we supposed to relate to the kingship of Hashem? So Rav Shlomo Volbe says, just to finish off, Rav Shlomo Volbe says that in the times of the Holocaust, the World War II, there was a situation where Hitler was, Yimach Shemoy, was taking over many countries, and the leaders of those countries, I don't know if they were kings or whatever type of leader they were, they ran away, they managed to escape, and they escaped to England. And there was something called the government in exile. I think that's what it was called, the government in exile. There was groups of leaders of different countries, and they from England, they were keeping their country, even though their country was being under attack, and they're running away, and it's not functioning as a country, the country continues to exist. And Rav Shlomo Volbe says such a beautiful thing. He says, that concept Hashem gave to us to be able to relate to Galus. That concept, that even though the kingdom, whatever, that person that ran away, that king that ran away from his country, was not functioning as his country right now, but so long as the king is still here, so then there's still a king, it's still in existence. It's existing in exile. And that's the Shekhinah of Begelusa. That's the Shekhinah of Hashem. That the kingship today is the same kingship as it always was of Hashem. But it's in exile now. And we have to realize that there's still a kingship. It's hard for us, but we have to realize that. And we have to makabel that Malchus Shamayim. The two ways that we discussed in makabel that Malchus Shamayim is accepting our situations, every situation that we're given in life, to accept it, realize that it's from Hashem. And in the mitzvahs that we do, to think about before we do a mitzvah, to think, I'm doing this mitzvah, Hashem told me to do this mitzvah, He gave me a commandment as a king, I'm His servant, I'm doing this mitzvah.